It's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. A very good morning to you, Martin. Thanks for joining us in studio once again.
Morning, Gillian.
Some very interesting news coming through. Good news for some 6,200 iron ore workers coming through this week.
You know, I call it the pretty face of black economic empowerment, and it's come shining through for 6,209 iron ore workers who have become half millionaires overnight. And this is thanks to Kumba Iron Ore, of course, because 5 years ago, they gave share options to their workers. Everybody below management, from the cleaners to the tea makers, and it was across the board, they offered these shares. And it was only 3% of the company, which looks a very meager amount. But that 3% over 5 years has become worth nearly 3 billion rand. So now they've seen a magnificent uplift in the value of the shares, and they've also been getting their dividends along the way. And now this first ESOP, as they call it, that's an employee share ownership plan, has matured. And so before Christmas, you will have 6,209 workers, shareholder workers from Kumba Iron Ore, becoming half millionaires pre-tax.
Now that's the kind of bonus we're talking just ahead of Christmas. They certainly are leading the way, setting quite a high bar, if one can put it that way, for other companies.
You know, we hear of CEOs and top management and MDs getting these share options. I mean, of course, that's why a guy becomes a CEO. He wants those share options. But you don't hear of workers getting share options. And just look at what it's done for this company. I mean, their productivity is huge. The unions have backed this all the way because it's, from the ordinary workers' share in this and without any discrimination. And you see that it's set an example for the world.
Certainly is good news coming through, and I'm sure they're all going to be having a fantastic Christmas. Well, moving on to some other news as well this week. Canada preparing to take on Botswana in the fight for world diamond dominance. Tell us more about that.
You know, in Southern Africa, we just look across the border and we see Botswana as a giant, almost what Saudi Arabia is to oil. You know, Botswana is to diamonds. And you think, well, they're going to dominate this, you know, without a fight, because they're up at, you know, 27% of the world diamonds by value, etc. But you start forgetting about other countries where there's also a lot of diamond mining. And I must say, Canada is popping up very, very sharply because there are a lot of new diamond mines coming up there. But they're not only saying that they're going to diamond mine, they're starting to go through the rhetoric that Botswana's taken a long time to go through. Botswana is now saying, you know, it wants to cut and polish, it wants to make jewelry, it wants their financial services and all the other aspects of diamond aggregation so that people come to Botswana, to Gaborone, to select their diamonds. Well, Canada is now talking the exact same language, that they also want to do this. And you say to them, well, how are you going to compete on the cutting side, you know, with countries like China and India? And they say, you know, their advantage is slipping away very, very fast because of technology. You know, the new technology that's coming through enables people to do it at a very high level. And because the wage inflation is rising dramatically in India and China, and wage inflation is very low in Canada, you know, it's becoming a different story. So I think Botswana, when they muscled De Beers into taking the center of gravity of diamonds from London and putting it in Gaborone, and they've succeeded in doing it, and that process is taking place. I hope they never got the idea that they got a monopoly there.
Because well, there's nothing quite like good competition to motivate people to work harder.
Yes, and let's hope they do.
All right, now we see COP17 dominating headlines this week, and some interesting news coming through that the Weather Service, the South African Weather Service, has got on an extra job in terms of having to blow the whistle on air pollution transgression.
Yeah, this is very interesting. The new legislation that's coming through, the South African Weather Service Amendment Bill, which has been gazetted, it adds a new weapon, you know, to the arsenal of the service and gives them a new job. You know, they become pollution watchdogs. And of course, it's coming just at the COP17 time. And we see that one of the phases, and they're going to go through various phases of this monitoring process. You know, the first phase to actually set the building blocks in place and get all the legislative framework right. But part of the second phase is actually also to deal with not only the normal air pollution, the SOx and the NOx, you know, that we get around, but also, you know, the greenhouse gases that they're talking about in Durban, the carbon dioxide emissions. And they, over time, the South African Weather Service will take over the role. We've got 94 monitoring stations, you know, around the country, and we build new ones quite regularly. They're in the process now of taking over these air quality monitoring stations around the country from the Department of Environmental Affairs, who's working with them on this new issue, where almost in real time, in the third phase, you know, they will move towards a real-time monitoring of air pollution and greenhouse gas emissions, so that they can actually see in real time what is happening. And if these people transgress, of course, then you can move much faster. And we see that the whole idea is to improve South Africa's situation with regard to clean air and environment. And interestingly, you see them also setting up now these weather monitors being built in Limpopo province, because, of course, you know, Mpumalanga is the pollution hotspot at the moment. I mean, everything from greenhouse gas emissions to NOx and SOx and all the other nitrogen oxides and sulfides and things coming into the air. But it's going to happen one day in Limpopo, because we see the big Medupi power station going up there, and talk of other coal-fired power stations. So this is being prepared through new legislation coming through Parliament now, where the South African Weather Service won't only just forecast weather, but they'll also forecast pollution.
That certainly is good news for us, especially living in the cities where there's a lot of pollution. Well, Martin, thank you so much for joining us once again on AM Live, and we'll chat to you again next week.
Thanks, Gillian.
Martin Creamer is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly, and he'll be back at the coalface at the same time again next Friday.